Business today moves faster than ever. If you are slow to adapt, then you will get left behind. If you're still running on QuickBooks, that's you. It's time to hit the gas and accelerate with NetSuite. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/wallstreet.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, April 5th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. It's Monday, again. And I don't know about you, but I always wake up groggy on Mondays. Part of that is returning to work after a weekend. And the other part is how difficult it's become to get enough sleep during the pandemic. If this sounds familiar to you, you might have considered buying a sleep tracker to help. But are they really worth it? On today's show, our personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen will join us with her guide. That's after these headlines. Some Facebook staff are raising concerns that the social network is being used as a conduit for Chinese propaganda. While Facebook is banned inside of China, Beijing has used advertisements and other methods to spread its views to hundreds of millions of people overseas. Facebook employees point to sponsored posts from Chinese organizations that purport to show Muslim ethnic minority Uyghurs thriving in the country's Xinjiang region, according to people familiar with the matter. The U.S. and some European governments say Beijing is committing genocide against the Uyghurs, which Beijing has denied. People familiar with the matter say Facebook hasn't decided whether to act on employees' concerns. A spokesman for the company says the ads about the Uyghurs taken out by Beijing don't violate current policies, and that Facebook is monitoring reports of the situation in Xinjiang. Tesla delivered nearly 185,000 vehicles in the first quarter, a record number despite stiffer competition in the electric vehicle market and supply chain issues due to the pandemic. The company delivered nearly 500,000 vehicles last year and expects deliveries to advance more than 50% this year. More car news. The CEO of Waymo, that's the autonomous vehicle unit of Google parent Alphabet, says he'll be stepping down and moving instead into an advisor role. Waymo says it'll be tapping its chief technology and operating officers, Dmitry Dolgov and Takedra Mawakana, to lead the decade-old effort to make self-driving cars a reality. Dolgov and Mawakana will share the title of co-CEO. All right, coming up after the break, what you should know before you buy a sleep tracker. That's next.
The Motley Fool has been helping investors become smarter, happier, and richer for over 25 years. In fact, their flagship service, Motley Fool Stock Advisor, has beaten the market by almost 5 times. And of the 24 stocks recommended by Stock Advisor in 2020, 22 of them had positive returns. Wondering where to invest $1,000 right now? Hint, it has to do with 5G. Visit fool.com/WSJ.
In the pandemic, many people have found themselves hitting snooze a lot more than usual, waking up groggy, and generally having a tough time getting enough sleep. And lots of companies have been coming out with all kinds of sleep trackers, which seem like they could help. Our personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen tried a bunch of them out and spoke with sleep experts about their effectiveness, and she joins me now to talk about what she learned. Hey, Nicole, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi.
So tell me about why you decided to look into sleep trackers in the first place, and talk a little bit about your methodology.
I've been having a lot of trouble sleeping during the pandemic, as many people have. A lot of restless nights, tossing and turning, and a lot of new sleep trackers are hitting the market. Even though the concept of sleep tracking tech isn't really new, Fitbit has had sleep tracking for years. Apple just launched a sleep app for Apple Watch. Google launched this new smart display that has a radar that can sense when you're moving in your bed. And so I decided to try a lot of the new sleep tracking gadgets that are on the market to see if they could fix my dilemma, which is waking up groggy every morning.
Yeah, relatable. And I think it speaks volumes about how common the problem is that there were so many products out there to be tested. Why are so many companies developing these kinds of sleep trackers?
It seems like getting 8 hours of sleep is the new 10,000 steps a day. a lot of sleep experts and psychologists have published books and other kinds of literature about how fundamental getting enough sleep is to our health and how it can impact, you know, other parts of our lives, our mood, our mental health, everything from obesity to other chronic issues. And so I think that the tech companies are very interested in this idea that gadgets can be a solution, a health and wellness solution. And so sleep is sort of the next natural thing to take on.
And so let's talk about some of these gadgets. You know, how do they work? What kind of data do they collect? What do they do?
There are so many different types of sleep trackers available. The kinds I tested were wrist-based. So I tested Whoop, which is a hardware aimed primarily at athletes. And it's just a bracelet that has an optical heart sensor and accelerometer. I tested the Apple Watch, which sleep tracks in a similar way. It tracks your heart rate, and it also has, you know, motion sensors in it. The Google Nest Hub is a smart display. It's the latest sleep tracker on the market that sits on a nightstand at your bedside, and its radar can detect micro movements as sensitive as your chest moving up and down, so it can detect your respiratory rate. I also tested this Withings sleep mat that goes underneath your mattress, and it sort of puffs up like a balloon, and the air pressure inside of the mat detects things like snoring, respiratory rate, even your heartbeat, and whether or not you toss and turn throughout the night. And they also tested the Fitbit. But there are many other trackers I didn't test, including the Oura Ring, which the NBA uses to track things like heart rate and sleep and so forth.
And can you talk about some of the indicators that all of these different devices are tracking?
It's so much. I was swimming in a sea of data, Amanda. it's time of sleep. It's how many times you woke up during the night. It's instances of snoring. It's your average heart rate. Some of these devices even purport to record different sleep stages, like whether or not you're in light, REM, or deep, also known as slow wave sleep. But the experts I spoke to cast doubt on their ability to be precise enough to capture that information.
Yeah, and on that note, how do the experts regard these sorts of devices? Are they accurate in their eyes?
Generally, the experts think that the gold standard for sleep studies is the polysomnogram, where you're, you know, hooked up with little nodes on your brain, and clinicians are looking at brain activity and heart rate and other things in a lab, and that these devices are good at sort of like the basic baseline measurement of how long you've been sleeping, which is helpful. For example, if you have insomnia, you're required to record a diary of when you went to bed and when you woke up and how you feel the next day, because that's important data for them to know. And typically that's just done on pencil and paper, but these trackers can automate that process. It's valuable in that sense, but they say they're not quite accurate enough to detect sleep stage activity. Sleep architecture is what they call it. They say for most people, thinking about sleep at all is a good thing. For some people, these sleep trackers can actually cause what's called orthosomnia, which is an insomnia prompted by anxiety that's caused by sleep trackers. You know, people who are attempting to get a perfect score in their sleep will actually feel more anxious about wearing them and feel more anxious about their sleep overall.
It's a cruel irony. Mm-hmm. How do the companies respond to what those experts have said?
So we talked to Fitbit about this, and they said that their devices are validated against polysomnograms and other types of lab-based sleep studies, and that they, you know, stand by their devices and their accuracy, but admit that it's definitely not as accurate as being in a sleep lab. The benefit, they say, of these devices is their ability to track trends over a long period of time and in the real world. The type of sleep that you get at home is not the same type of sleep that you're going to get in a lab hooked up to a million machines.
Got it. So after testing all of these out, what is your takeaway? What should listeners keep in mind as they think about sleep and maybe before buying a sleep tracker themselves?
I think the most helpful insight that the sleep trackers have provided me is how certain things impact my sleep. Like, for example, whether or not I've, you know, whether or not I ate a meal late or drank the night before. And if I had a cocktail close to bedtime, it really impacts the early part of my sleep rather than the later part of my sleep. I think that it's definitely not a sub for seeing a sleep doctor and having a clinical visit if you do experience insomnia and other more serious sleep problems, but I think it's good to track trends, you know, like that Fitbit person said. I do think that if you are an anxious person in general and you are an overachiever, wearing a sleep tracker can definitely cause you some sleep blocking anxiety. And so I wouldn't recommend sleep trackers for those kinds of people.
All right, you can check out Nicole's column, which has a lot more information about the various sleep trackers on our website, wsj.com. Our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Thanks, Nicole.
Thanks, Amanda.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. If you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Hope you get some sleep tonight.